Hello and welcome to Mensplaining. I'm Steven Kersner. Today we're going to have an interesting conversation. I say that as if the other ones aren't, and I don't know why I say that at the beginning of a conversation when I should say at the end it has been interesting, because I guess it's just wishful thinking. But today we're going to talk about the subject: if you could advise your 15-year-old self, what would you say? Or your 20-year-old self, or young men needing life guidance today. Topic courtesy of Paul Doroshenko, who is joining us. Hello, Paul.
Hello, happy new year.
Glad to have you here.
Good wishes to everyone in 2021.
Yeah, let's hope a little later on 2021 will turn out to be a lot better than 2020. So far,
I think the new year starts on the 21st of January this year. So
you're probably right. Let's talk to Ryan Ballantyne. Hello, Ryan. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, it's great to be back. I know I haven't been here for a while, but it's good to be back on the show.
Good to have you. Chris Hamilton, our MC Illtone, good to have you back.
Happy New Year.
Good to have you. and of course, Andrew Willis, or can we just call you Andy? Do we have to be so familiar? Can we be familiar enough to call you Andy Willis?
Sure. Anything for you.
Oh, well, gee, thanks. You made such a great sacrifice there. All right. And Byron Rutledge, where are you pulled over today?
I'm actually at home today.
Oh, you're at home today. No telephone poles in your truck?
not till tomorrow.
Not till tomorrow. Andy, that wasn't a euphemism. That's actually what he hauls. Okay. Andy's mind is always moving in a different direction.
Okay. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, all right. So we're all adults. Some of us have been adults longer than others. Some of us are adults in name only. But we're older, and that usually means wiser. I've encountered people where that isn't the case. And certainly in my own case, I should be wiser than I am. But we've got life experience behind us, and I think we can all remember what we envisioned the world would be like and our place in it when we were 15 years old. And so today we're going to talk about talking to that 15-year-old and then to the 20-year-old, and what kind of advice you would give based on your life experiences to this point. I'm going to start with the person who founded this topic, Paul Doroshenko. Paul?
This is when I thought of the topic, I thought, oh, now if he uses this topic, I'm actually going to have to come up with some answers that sound logical and make sense. But I guess looking back, when I was 20, 21 years old, I was working for the Auto Trader using a standard old camera, driving around and taking pictures of cars that were published in a weekly magazine to sell vehicles. And I was, you know, thinking that that was going to be my career. It kind of leads you to my first thing that I would say to somebody who's 15, 20, 25, things change. And you can't really prepare for the unexpected, but you can prepare yourself to be flexible. You got to be always willing to be out there learning, and you have to make sure that you have a broad knowledge and experience in things and stay interested.
That's interesting.
You know, that's sort of the first thing. And that, you know, I was a high school dropout, right? And I had I gave myself this lesson. And I did it, and it worked. You know, I went back to school. Nobody takes you seriously when you're 20 years old. Somebody told me this, and it struck with me. Nobody takes you seriously when you're 20, 21. Why not go to university? You only have one chance in life, or go to, you know, some sort of school. You only have one chance in life to really enjoy that period of time where you're trying to expand your brain specifically in an educational setting. You know, take that time and enjoy it. And enjoy it, and you know, get out there and do it.
Good point.
Now, other things I would say is sort of pick a goal, figure out the steps to that goal, because we solve problems all the time. Every day, every one of us solves problems, but we don't often think of longer term goals and then think about solving that problem. So I'd say pick a goal, figure out the steps to get to that goal, and try and do it better than anybody else. And then fuck the naysayers.
All wise words from you, Paul. All wise words. Now, are these words that you would specifically have given to yourself, or is there a specific circumstance in life that you weren't prepared for that you would tell your 15-year-old self, watch out for this?
This is what I would go back and advise myself of.
Yeah.
This is what I would go back and tell myself to do. I had no interest in school when I was 15. The Stray Cats song, Sexy and 17, I had that on a cassette and I was listening to it in my Honda when I was, 17 years old, 16 years old. And the first line in the song Sexy and 17 is, I don't want to go to school no more. Me neither. You know, I ain't going to school. It starts too early for me. And I was thinking, I dropped out of high school. And half of the reason was that song. I just had no interest in education.
It wasn't didn't take much to later. Influence you, did it?
Well, I know. Well, I was in my last year of law school. I'd finished all my classes. I just had to write my exams. And I found that cassette. And I put it in my cassette player in my Volvo. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to fucking drop out. I go to school no more. And then I thought, oh yeah, I better go write those final exams and become a lawyer after all. I guess I'm easily influenced in some respects.
Well,
I turned it around.
It doesn't take much when you're already leaning that direction. It doesn't take much to push you in that direction, I guess. I've certainly experienced that in my life.
You wonder why you put yourself through some of the misery that you do in life. And the hope is that it's going to, lead to something better later on. But the smartest thing I ever did was I sat down and thought about the steps. I was a high school dropout. How was I going to get into university? If I wanted to become a lawyer, here's the steps I've got to get there. Here's the fallbacks. If I don't make it there, what, is this my plan? I thought I'm reasonably intelligent. You don't have to be brilliant to be a lawyer. I can tell you that much. You just have most of the people walking around in downtown in any city could do it if they applied themselves to it. So it was just an issue for me of thinking about the steps and then following through.
It's interesting you talk about having a backup plan. A friend of mine growing up was going to be a Major League Baseball player. And his backup plan, if that didn't work, was he was going to go into television broadcasting. And it's like, those are both dreams that I'm not saying don't pursue them, but you don't have another dream as a backup to your first dream.
And well, Ken Dryden's dream was to be a NHL player, and he was incredibly successful. And his secondary dream was to be a lawyer, and he studied law while he was still playing hockey.
But he was already engaged in succeeding in his first dream. That's true. Different than being on the outside, working your way in. And it turned out for my friend about the way you'd expect it would have turned out. And if he's listening, I'm sorry I'm using you as an example.
Well, there's physical limitations, right? Like you gotta pick something that is realistic, but it doesn't mean you need to aim low. No. You should still be aiming high.
Well, I'm 5'2", and I never had a goal of being a basketball star. All right, let's move on to David Lisney. David, what would you tell your 15-year-old self to prepare him for the future that you encounter?
I don't know if it's been said yet, but Bitcoin, buy Bitcoin, all the Bitcoin, get into the Bitcoin. But all the Bitcoin, whatever Bitcoin you can purchase, all of it. Your buddy was right. It wasn't a scam, Bitcoin. But on a personal side of things, I don't know. Like, looking back when I was 15, all the things that I did or didn't do or screwed up on or achieved led me exactly where I am now. Sure, if I could talk to my 15-year-old self, there'd be a lot of things that I could have told him in order to avoid a lot of pain and a lot of suffering. But that all of that really did kind of lead me down this path. So the only caveat to that is I was an air cadet at the time, and there was a couple of things that I did in order to screw up the opportunity in order to get a free pilot license. That would be about it. Everything else happened exactly the way it was going to, and then I ended up exactly where I was.
You're about the only person I know who can confidently say that he wouldn't change anything.
I mean, the thing is, I've had to move on without regret because it doesn't, there is no time machine. I don't literally get to go back ever and redo anything in my life. Could I have improved on things? Sure. But like, there's been so many times in my life so far that I've kind of had to reinvent myself, look back, be critical of myself, figure out what I did wrong. But in reflection, everything led to something. Every single screw up, every single moment of pain, anguish, the people that I've lost, like as a relationship wise in my life along the way, those are all lessons and they all made me a better person. Like when it comes to 15-year-olds today, oh, I got tons of things I could say in order to help have them hopefully not make the same mistakes that I made. But my own 15-year-old self, I am where I am because of the choices I made, either for better or for worse.
Well, you know, God bless you for being in such a position and having such a healthy attitude. I don't know that many of us share that particular orientation and outlook on life. Let's see, as more of us talk, Byron Rutledge, what would you tell your 15-year-old self to try to avoid some pitfalls you encountered?
Well, much like David, I don't think I'd want to change anything simply because I like how my life is right now and all of my screw-ups and mistakes are kind of part of getting here. The one thing that I probably would tell myself is people are going to judge you no matter what you do, so just smile and do whatever the fuck you want anyways. And don't care about what other people have to say. You know, you do what you want to do. And people are going to have an opinion on that no matter positive or negative.
Good advice. Good advice for somebody, you know, not 15. It's good advice for somebody at 50 as well. That's just good life advice.
It took me a long time to learn it. It took me a long time to learn it.
But, well, those lessons are the ones that are the most valuable.
Oh, I think so, yeah. Definitely.
All right. Let's ask Ryan Ballantyne. Ryan, what would you tell your 15-year-old self to avoid some pitfalls that you encountered later in life?
Well, I think similar to the other guys that have spoken before me, I mean, I feel like I'm in a good spot. If you had told 15-year-old me that he'd be sitting here in the future having a chat with the guy behind Ed the Sock, he'd be a pretty happy fella. And pretty excited about the opportunity. But I think the one thing that not enough kids know is that nobody's thinking about you when you're not together. And by that, I mean, you don't have to spend your time worrying about how other people are perceiving you and focus on that instead of just focusing on yourself, focusing on how your own individual life can be better. Nobody's, somebody can tell a joke about something you said, but they're not going to be spending the entire night talking about you. And even if they are, those people aren't going to be the ones that deeply affect you later in life anyway. Those are the people that are going to be gone by the wayside. So I think the thing I would tell my younger self is that to stop having that anxiety, societal anxiety about what other people think and to stop worrying about that instead of worrying about kind of making yourself better. Like Paul, I'm also a high school dropout. I did not go back and find my way into becoming a lawyer or a country singer for that matter. But, you know, I did eventually find myself doing what I probably should have been doing all along, and that's engaging with people. So, the path isn't always necessarily a straight one either, and you'll get there eventually.
Okay. Wise words. What about you, Chris Hamilton?
Well, like our friends here, I too have a high school dropout story, and mine goes as follows. So myself and a friend ate a bunch of magic mushrooms one night and watched Pink Floyd's The Wall, and the next day we walked into school and dropped out in tandem. So I would probably go back and tell myself to not have done that, because I did end up going back to school the next year, followed up and finished the job and which ended up being, you know, pretty instrumental in my life, because I did go back and do a little bit of post-secondary for audio production and music engineering. So if I, you know, hadn't had the wherewithal at that point to actually go back and finish up the next year, I was like that, you know, lame older dude who was in the high school still, who is like a year past everybody else and should have graduated the previous year. But I'm glad that I did that. But given the fact that I have had some problems with chemical dependency in my life, I would say avoid alcohol and don't smoke weed, pretty much all I did in high school. And I understand also that all this sounds very lame and unrapper-like, but that's just from my personal experience. I don't, you know, shit on people who do those things, but for me, it wasn't what I should have been doing. I'd also say, don't be a bully. I was a little bit of an asshole in high school and eventually felt pretty bad about it, and have reached out actually to some of the people that I wasn't too kind to during high school, and have begun to make amends for some of those less than reputable moments that I had. And also just to cherish my family. I went through that teenage angst phase where, you know, my father and mother and sister weren't too important to me. I wanted to be that badass who was always out fighting at parties and, you know, clowning around. But yeah, going back, I would have spent more time with my family.
Interesting. Obviously, you've done some reflection on this. I suspect this isn't the first time you've done this type of reflection.
Oh yeah, for sure. I attend Narcotics Anonymous regularly. I'm very involved in the program here, and that's a huge part of it. And not to say that we as individuals shouldn't do this sort of reflection anyways, but I'm also not going to say that that I have any regrets, because it's been brought up already. All those miscalculations throughout the course of my life have led me to the position that I'm in right now, and I'm in a pretty good place right now. So if I hadn't learned the things that I've learned just through life experience, I wouldn't be sitting here today in a pretty good spot.
Okay. And now I'm expecting something interesting and flamboyant from Andy Willis. Andy, what would you tell? I mean, your 15-year-old self isn't as far away as some of our 15-year-old selves are. What would you tell your 15-year-old self?
Well, I do like that quote by Winston Churchill. If I knew I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of my teeth. Let me tell you, I have to pretty much whore myself every time I go to the dentist. It's expensive. So, I mean, first of all, brush your teeth, kids. Floss. Do all that shit. Stay away from sugar and crunching things with the back of your teeth, because those teeth will break and you'll need implants and they will cost you a fortune. I made a little list. Everyone you love will die. Friends will forget you. It gets worse. It doesn't actually get better. Justice isn't fair. It's political. Politics isn't just. It's marketing. People lie about being morally, ethically, and spiritually benevolent. That too is political. There is no wasted time. So that's kind of, you know, something you should feel better about. Have more sex or ask people out more. They probably are just as shy as you are. And learn to self-soothe and regulate your body exercise. I think that's pretty much sums it all up.
Wow, most of that list is the kind of thing you think about as you're standing on a ledge.
Super. Honey, I've fallen off the ledge, to tell you the truth. Life has been, it's been another year. And so here we are. We've arrived. And I've gone absolutely batshit crazy. I'm medicated. I'm learning new things about different dissociative disorders, and it's a shonda, to say the least. But you know what, it your brain, like neuroplasticity is something that all my doctors keep telling me is something I should look forward to, because it means that if you keep pushing on the same positive path, that you can like change those connections in your brain. So we're working on that. So I'm going to be mania free in 2021, and I'm going to be DPDR, which is depersonalization, derealization free, hopefully in 2021. And depression will be gone, hopefully. Anxiety to the point that I can't leave my house will be gone too. And I don't know, I share the same birthday as Courtney Love, so all this kind of makes sense.
Or one for astrology.
Yeah, there you go. It's unfortunate. I mean, I find it unfortunate that somebody so young is so jaded about things, but the things that you put in your list, I can't argue with.
Well, I mean, I'm a lot different than most people my age, because, you know, my parents aren't, you know, 40 or 50, my parents are like 90. Like my great grandmother is the last parent I have left. Like they're my adopted parents. So like she's, you know, in bed rotting, you know, 23 hours a day, and I'm taking care of her solely on my own. So that's kind of a bitch. And then you also have, you know, I have all this bullshit that happened at university. That too is a bitch. You know, I have so much stuff that you wouldn't worry about until you're a lot older happening to me now, that it's like, it's great because it means I'll get all this shit out of the way. Like I, you know, I'll be 60 and I'll be like, oh my God, my mom's dying. But you know, I'll be, you know, get all that out of my system and hopefully things will get better from here on out. But I don't know. Life fucking sucks. But you know what? It does have the possibility to get better. Sue, I don't know. Call Paul Doroshenko. He'll sort it out for you. I don't know.
That's interesting. You said that it doesn't get better. It gets worse. But
does, because you realize you're going to die. And all this is a big fucking nothing. Like I've been watching The Sopranos and I'm kind of looking at Olivia Soprano. I'm like, Jesus, her and I have so many similarities. I'm sitting there eating chocolate pudding, being like, life fucking sucks and it's all a big nothing and you're just gonna die. And it's kind of like, well, it's kind of true, like, you know.
Well, I mean, when you read a book, you know it's gonna end. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy the book.
Well, like most Canadians, I don't read. I'm on TikToks, so you know. I have something to dance to. I have a dance in my heart, I guess. I don't know. You know what? No. Kids, if you're 15, I'm gonna tell you something. Life is great. Just have lots of sex, do drugs. I don't know. Have fun. Just whatever. You'll figure it out. Most people will be in a good position, so you'll be fine.
You're such a good influence on the youth of today.
Hey, I'm no, Devin Sultan Deke. I'm not all Mr. Smiles and Happy. So,
wow. Now there's a reach for a reference. You're referencing someone who was a Much Music VJ for a time, and then I think was an entertainment reporter. Wow. And somebody who I'd never really liked. So that certainly hits between the eyes. I will say this, that that it does get better and then it gets worse again and then it gets better and then it gets worse again. But each time that it gets worse, it's less worse because you recognize you were through worse before and it got better again. One thing I would tell my younger self is that there's a difference between trial and tragedy. And that you will get through it and why the sun will come out again. This is not the end of the world. Things do eventually, if you're smart enough and you stay nimble and don't let it drag you down and make you paralyzed, you will come out the other end in a better place. Yes.
What's it like to be like 50? Like I'm freaked out by this because my doctor said to me, you know, he's like, you know, you're in a new age bracket, so you have to worry about like certain things. I'm like, Jesus Christ, you know, like what's it like to be like in your 50s and then it's like you're like, holy shit, I'm a dude, I'm in my 50s, I'm probably scheduled for a stress-induced heart attack anytime soon. Like, isn't that frightening to be like, I could be dead now or I could be dead 30 years from now?
Well, my family is very long-lived, so I figure I got probably another 40 years, which is almost as long as I've been here so far. Of course, it's 40 declining years as opposed to 40 years on the upswing, but it doesn't have to be. And you get used to your age as you get older, if that makes any sense. It sounds rather basic, but age that seems distant seems frightening. Like I look at thinking about being in my 70s and I think, oh, but as you get there, life catches up and you become okay with where you are. And I think one of the things I would tell my 15-year-old self is don't take anything for granted. Too often I would find that something was going in a good direction and I wouldn't close the deal. And then circumstances I thought were static would stay the same, changed. And I got screwed because I didn't close the deal at the time because I was just so confident that it was going to close that I took my time. And I would tell myself, don't take your time, don't take it for granted, and don't take people for granted, because that they're always gonna be there. Because there are at least two people that were in my life that I always thought, I'm gonna call them and go out for lunch. I'm gonna call them and go out for lunch. And I kept telling myself I was gonna do it, and then they died. And things were left unsaid, not negative things, but positive things were left unsaid. And I still regret to this day that I didn't realize that if you have an interest in getting together with somebody, get together with them. Don't always assume that they're going to be there, because they're not, you can't predict the future. They're not always going to be there. So don't take anything for granted. Don't take people for granted. What else would I tell my 15-year-old self? That in fact, it does get better and get worse and get better and get worse, but that each time it gets worse, you're able to recognize that you made it through the first time, and to recognize that there is, disaster doesn't happen. I went through something that was my ultimate fear from the time I was growing up. I had to deal with it a couple of years ago. Yeah, it was a shark attack. But I fought it off. I punched it in the nose, as you're supposed to. I jumped over a shark with a motorcycle and I fell in the tank. No, of course this never happened. That was happy days. I had to face something that had frightened me my whole life. And I came through the other side. And so that fear isn't quite as potent as it once was, because, you know, there's still the fear of it repeating, but it's not the same fear as before, because I realize, you know, here's the other thing I would tell my 15-year-old self. Sometimes life sucks. That doesn't mean it's going to suck forever. But sometimes you've got to acknowledge this sucks, that always putting a happy face on things is deceiving yourself and not letting yourself learn lessons that you need to learn. So sometimes life sucks. You'll get through it, but it's okay now and again to recognize, you know what? This actually sucks, as long as you don't think that it's going to be permanent, because nothing in life is permanent, is another thing I would tell myself. Nothing in life is permanent. Things change. And I would also tell myself, never say never, because when I think of the things that 15 years old, I knew I would never do in my life, I've done most of them. And they were all positive. But at the time I told you're so self-assured at 15, I'll never do this, I'll never be that way, I'll never do this. And I've done it. And it was the smarter thing to do. So be less resolute. And also, you don't know as much as you think you know. I'm sure we could all share that one. What about kids today? The older we are, the further we are from understanding them. But Paul, if you had to advise somebody today who's 20 years old, looking at the world the way that it is, with them earning less than their parents did and housing prices being out of reach, the news being relentlessly negative, what would you tell them?
I would probably tell them, look, you're in the same boat as a lot of other people, and somehow, you know, your generation's going to work it out and figure it out. It may not be the same lifestyle that the baby boomers enjoyed. It's going to be different. And again, you got to be prepared for change, and you don't want to be behind the ball. You want to be paying attention and be connected and engaged. That's basically, you're going to survive, right? You're part of the herd, and you're probably going to survive. You don't want to be at the back of the herd. It's not necessarily that you need to be at the front of the herd, but chances are your lifestyle is going to be, you know, roughly similar to those in your generation, and you'll probably be okay. You said that, it's never really the end of the world. Well, it is the end of the world at one point, as Andy pointed out, when you die, that's the end of the world. Okay. But until then,
so far as we know,
you'll survive. Yeah. But through your life, you just have to do your best all the time and try not to be too negative as you're going through, and look for opportunities that you can do things and where you can help other people along the way.
Okay. Good point. Chris, what would you tell somebody, a youngster today, looking at the world that they're growing up in?
One thing I'd say is get out there and vote. It may sound cliche, but there are some parties out there who reflect the changing landscape, things dealing with housing and so on and so forth. Yeah, housing is ridiculous, and it sucked even for me at age 20 to look at the housing market and think, holy shit, I might not ever own a home just because of the way things are. But there are political parties and advocates out there who are trying to change that for the better, so that the current generation can forge a better future for themselves. And I know that a lot of young people don't get out and vote. I always did vote. And a lot of people around me didn't. And when I ended up going into politics and working, just as a canvasser, mind you, but I used to run into people at the door all the time who didn't even understand how the Canadian political system worked at age 30. You know, they didn't understand that they were going to be voting for a candidate in their riding, and they weren't just voting directly for a PM candidate, and so on and so forth. And it was kind of shocking to find that out when I went out there and hit the doors. I'd also say save money. You know, there are ways to cut costs, and although we may not be making as much as our predecessors from the previous generation, there are costs that can be cut, things that we don't need. You know, those Starbucks coffees are pretty expensive, not to chuck Starbucks specifically under the bus, but things like that. You know, you'll thank yourself later if you do have some savings on hand. Travel while you're young, if you can afford to. I got into traveling a little bit later on in my 20s as a result of music and my trajectory along that path. And yeah, I always wish that I had done it a little bit earlier, because it ate up a lot of time and finances in my later 20s. So early 20s would have been a good time for that. And establishing a career, the backup plan, you know, like I love making music. I make a little bit here and there from that. But I do also have a career that I'm very thankful for. And that was something that came later for me as well. I didn't establish myself in the sales industry until my late 20s. And now I have that as my, you know, my rock. And then music is just something that I can fund with that if I need to pay some costs, and can, you know, afford to go on tour, take a little bit of time off because I've established myself in that industry as well. And I'll bring it back one more time. I would avoid alcohol and drugs, but that's just me personally. So.
All right. Thank you very much. David?
Well, I'm going to go and I think I mentioned it before, but I always reflect on Jim Rohn and his Seasons of Life. It's every time I look back at where I am and where I was recently, it's true. Like, there's going to be a spring, there's going to be a summer, there's going to be a fall, there's going to be a winter. And there's nothing really you can do in order to overcome that. There's going to be a time where you grow, you build, you get everything prepared. There's going to be a time where things are great, things are positive, you get to enjoy life. There's going to be things where you have to put in work again and prepare because the winter is going to be coming. And that cycle can happen in a week, a month, a year, a decade. And you just have to keep on rolling with the punches, enjoy the good times, reflect in the bad times, and keep pushing. Also, looking back, every single, like, all the opportunities, all the chances, all the movements in my life, it feels like there's always a flow that is somewhat established. But as long as you're positive, as long as you're in a good headspace, as long as you're looking for opportunities, sometimes you're going to find new directions that are going to hopefully change things for the better. And you'll know when those opportunities arise. You meet new people, you have a new career, you have a new job, you have things that you're kind of like, you know, this does feel right at this moment. And then down the road, you get to look back and say, yep, that was the right choice in order to make. As for specifically 15-year-olds right now, I don't know. Stay in school, like, just at least do high school. And the reason I always say stay in school is that school isn't necessarily just for the academics. There's going to be interpersonal opportunities. There's going to be people that you meet. There's going to be people that are going to influence you, teachers, other students. You never know what that connection is going to be. Even people that are bullies, even negative influences at the time, you never know what sort of influence they may end up being years down the road. And school is this opportunity to be around, depending on what city you're in, potentially hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of people that you're going to be able to learn from and have opportunities from. And it just goes downhill from there. Sure, college, university, post-secondary, you might have similar. It's not as close. And then once you're done school, you're going to have your friends, your families, your coworkers. But that same sort of opportunity for essentially strangers, where you'll have day in, day out, 5 days a week, to be able to see them, learn from them, to grow from them, it's never going to be the same. So that's the true reason to stay in school. Yes, you may fall in love with academics. Yes, you may be able to do well and then get post-secondary education, a career, and a future. However, always leave yourself open to the opportunity of other influences from school.
You know, you brought up something there that I would add, and I would strenuously explain this to my 15-year-old self, which is school is not about what you learn. School is about learning to learn. And if someone had told me that when I was younger, it would have changed my entire perspective on school. I did well in school, but I didn't really work at it. And I was constantly saying, what do I need to learn this for? And I never got satisfactory answers. If someone had said to me, you know what? You really don't need to know Pythagorean theorem, but learning how to learn Pythagorean theorem, learning how to approach a task, learning how to take a task in hand and research and apply yourself. Those are the things that school is there for. It's not there to teach you Pythagorean theorem or to teach you about, Upper and Lower Canada, the history. It's great to know all those things, but most of those things, and I was right when I was younger, most of those things you never need to know. And so when you look at it and say, what do I need to know this for? The answer is you don't, but you need to know how to know it. And that's something that I think gets lost in education with all the focus on what you're learning as opposed to the fact that you're learning. So I really wish somebody would have pointed that out to me when I was younger. It would have changed a whole lot in my attitude towards school. Let's move on to Ryan Ballantyne.
I think the advice I would give to any 15-year-old at this point is if you don't have a defined educational drive and passion towards a specific vocation, pick up a wrench and learn how to use it. I've got a lot of friends in my life that spent thousands of dollars on degrees and came out and are less happy, more in debt, and more struggling with their life than the couple friends I have that went to a trade school for a year and are pulling down six figures as a plumber. Some of those jobs are never going to go away. And the institutionalized and societal pressure to finish school, get a degree, chase that kind of high paying job. Some of those jobs may not exist by the time you get to the point where you need to be in your life making that kind of money. But people are always going to have a toilet and somebody's always going to have to fix it. And so while it may not be the glamorous career, it's definitely something that will provide you stability long term. And again, that's if you don't have that kind of drive to get to something specific. The trades are a great way to make money, and they're going to be the ones that are making money kind of long after even a lot of careers that currently exist.
Also, very good points. The emphasis on academics as being the pinnacle of success is something that has led many people astray. The need for skilled tradesmen and mechanics, things of that nature, they're always going to be there. There's always going to be a demand for that. And often you can name your price, because if you get good at it, then people come looking for you. So yes, absolutely. Even though your parents want you to focus on academics, if it's not something that is in your wheelhouse, if you're not academically minded, don't feel like you're a dunce, because you probably have other skills that are just as valuable and can make you a very good living, rather than pursuing something that isn't you and in going in a direction that isn't sustainable for you or certainly isn't of interest. So wise words, Ryan, wise words. What about you, Andy?
Everything you need to know, just listen to Baz Luhrmann's Sunscreen. Everyone's done it at some point in their life. And that song is a great song that kind of tells you everything that you should do to feel happy. I would make my dad really proud, because as I get older, I listen to the same music he listens to. And one song that I listen to is REO Speedwagon's Roll With The Changes. And, you know, as it says, if you're tired of the same old story, baby, turn some pages. So things are, you know, going to be shitty and then they're going to get better. But I mean, man, if you're 15, like I remember, like sneak out of your house. You have to sneak out of your house. You will never be able to have that same experience like as an adult, because as an adult you're always trying to find out how to sneak out of the house again and have that same fun thrill, and you will never have it. And maybe you might find it in some ways. Some people do drugs, some people, you know, get to tour the world and travel and perform and do fun stuff. But man, sneak out of the house. If you're 15, do it now. Sneak out of your house. And I remember I used to do, and that was the happiest time ever. I would sneak out of my house and I wouldn't even go anywhere to like parties and stuff. I'd just be like, I can go anywhere in the city right now. Like I can go as far as my feet can take me and I'd run. And it was the best feeling ever. And right now I'm like about to cry, because that like is like what I'm really wanting to do right now, is I want to sneak out of this house. Like I don't really like where I'm at and I really want to get out of that and like find that same excitement. So I'm upset because I'm stuck in the house. Now I got to sneak out. So if you're 15, just sneak out and go for a walk. And then go back into bed and be like, haha, I did that. Because that is the best feeling. I'll always remember that being my favorite feeling when I was 15.
You know, I'm just imagining one of those 80s sitcoms with Andy in the role of the guy who comes in to take to look after the growing children, like Charles in Charge or Who's the Boss. It would be a very different sitcom. Certainly a very different message.
I'm very good with kids, and that's, you know, kids are really therapy too, man. Like if you can just like hang out with kids, like it's the best thing ever. Like they just don't give a shit and they just will tell you to your face what they think. And you know, they don't have any hangups. So that's the thing. It's like, you know, try to get back to that. Cause as you get it, become an adult, you get more hangups and more things that kind of bog you down. You just kind of lose focus of just like, you know, sharing a Slurpee with vodka in it with like four of your friends. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, just go, like really just go out there and have fun, man. Like just do it. Like just, but everyone needs to find a way to escape out of their house and sneak out, even as an adult.
You have very specific advice. Yeah. It's very, the Slurpee doesn't have alcohol in it. It has vodka in it. I'm guessing that this is a bit of an anecdote from your life, but I'm not going to press you to confirm or deny.
I didn't drink alcohol till I was like last semester of like grade 12. I actually wasn't even allowed to go to house parties or sleepovers. Like my parents were super neurotic. They were like, if you sleep over at someone's house, you could get raped and things could happen. Like they're just like,
Think you were sleeping?
I don't know. They were just always so hung up on everything. So that's why for me, I was like, you know what? I'm fucking like sneaking out. I remember all the steps in the house, cause I still live in it, where you could step and not have my great grandfather in his bedroom. My great grandmother was in a separate bedroom, how to walk through and get out without them hearing. And I'd like open up the door and I'd be like, holy shit, I am outside of my house. And I would just like walk down the street and then I just start running and I'd run for like a couple kilometers. Cause you know, you're 15, you're not smoking yet. And it was just so much fun. Like, so, but that's what I think when we're adults, that's what we want to do, you know, like,
I shuck the responsibilities and escape.
Yeah, like, you know, and it's like there's freedom in that. Like I don't drive yet. I really want to, because I guarantee you, like, I'm just going to put on a track and just drive and get out of here. Like, you know, I hate to say this. My great grandmother is like in end of life care. I'm just like, and I hate, and it sucks, because for me, I'm like, I don't want her to be alive anymore. Like, I want her to just die and go. And then I can start my life again. And I want to like finish school and get out of that traumatic place and then just start my life and just literally get in a car and just drive, like just take everything that I have and just throw it away and just like drive somewhere, just like get away from all this, maybe even change my name, like not even know anybody, start a whole new life. That's just what I want to do. But you know what? I'm really excited, because people hear this and I'll hear this, and a year from now I'll be like, wow, like it's cool to hear yourself in that spot, because it does change. You just got to, you know, keep going with it. So, yeah.
Well,
for me, one of the smartest things I ever did was leave town, went to a different city,
yeah,
got away from my family and got away from all those things that were a burden. You know, as I drove around Edmonton before I left, every corner had some memory that was, you know, mixed feelings and mixed emotion. Every every street, you know, every major road, reminded me of every bad thing that happened to me in my life instead of every good thing. And totally. Leaving town, you know, just like I felt unshackled.
Well, also leaving town, when you're in the place you grew up and surrounded by the people you grew up with, you define yourself in a certain way based on partially on the way they see you or the way you think that they see you. When you get away from that influence, you can reinvent yourself and your self-image by not seeing yourself through the eyes of these people who have watched you grow up, watched you screw up, and who envision you in a certain way. I mean, I didn't do that, but I can certainly say that, you know, growing up, specifically my mother determined that my two younger brothers were the jocks and I was the more intellectual kid. And that also meant that I wasn't athletically capable. And as it turned out, when I got older, and I believed it, but as I got older, I realized I'm just as athletically capable as they are. I just didn't believe it because I saw myself through my mother's eyes. And that's something that, you know, if you're thinking about, you know, if you're young now and you're thinking about the way your parents see you, it has an effect on you. Even if you don't agree with them, it has an effect on you. So you got to question that. You got to question whether the way people see you is affecting the way you see you and whether that is accurate or inaccurate. That's fairly deep to do when you're 15 or 20. Well, by 20, you should start doing that kind of thing. But don't let other people define you. Define yourself. Even if they continue to define you a certain way, define yourself in the way that you see is truest to who you are, because nobody knows you like you do. I think that brings us to the end of this rather thought-provoking episode. Once again, I want to thank everybody for being so damned honest about this. People hear mansplaining, they think it's a bunch of guys comparing dick size. And in fact, this is this show frequently surprises me with the depth of feeling and thought that the panel puts into their testimony here. So I really appreciate it. And thank you for the time you take thinking about these topics and bringing them to the fore. So I want to thank you, Chris Hamilton.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, man. Happy New Year. And for sure, it was a good episode. Definitely, it took some turns. It was an emotional roller coaster, as they say.
Ryan Ballantyne, thank you.
Pleasure as always. Looking forward to how far the network can grow in 2021.
David Lisney, my thanks to you.
And thank you. And let's kick ass in 2021. 2020 is in the past. Let's see what we can do this year.
Byron Rutledge, thank you very much for taking some time on your day off to sit and talk with us.
Pleasure as always.
Paul Doroshenko, thank you not just for participating, but for coming up with this topic and a few others we'll be pursuing in the coming weeks.
Thank you, everyone. And good luck, everybody, in 2021. I can tell you this podcast this week has left me with a lot to think about. I've taken notes on post-it notes here, and I've got 10 post-it notes. I'm going to be pondering this for a while. I appreciate it very much. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. And of course, Andy Willis, thank you.
You're kick-ass, dude.
Thank you for your brutal honesty.
Well, you know, it comes for a reason, I guess. I got to do something with, for Christ's sake, but yeah, thank you. I really do appreciate coming here, and I love all you guys so much.
All right. And thank you guys for listening. I'm Stephen Kersner. This has been Mansplaining on the Fun Network. For he's a jolly good fellow, for